So we're carrying on our all things new, all things know. It puts a very different feeling on it, doesn't it? And if you've not been with us for the last few weeks, Revelation 21 verse 5 says this, that he is making, that is God, he is making all things new. And what I wanted to do this morning, I was thinking back to when I was a teenager, and it takes me quite a while to do that these days, but I was thinking back, and I used to come home from wherever I'd been, and it didn't matter what time of the night I got home, my parents were always up, or my dad was. My dad had this thing that until I walked through the door and he knew I was safe, he was not going to go to bed. So, but a lot of the time I wasn't in late because like my social life was church, right? And 10 o'clock we finish everything, don't we? It's like the given rule. We start at 7:30 and we finish at 10. And so like I used to get home from youth or wherever I'd been, and I used to sit down, and I would end up talking to my mum and dad till probably like, you know, 12:30, 1 in the morning. And we'd just get talking about life, about how I was doing or how things at church were, or we'd just talk about anything, anything and everything. And usually out of those conversations would come my next step. Usually out of those conversations would come, you know, just a way in which they could bring some wisdom into my life. That is the tactful way of the way that they told me what to do, okay? But they would bring some wisdom into my life. And then when I moved here, I went through a time where I sold a house that I was living in that I'd bought before Matt and I got married. And I used to live with Richard and Linda. And I found those two to be quite like my parents. And so like, I would come home, and because I was in charge, the 10 o'clock thing didn't happen when I was running youth. And so I'd get home from whatever I was doing, and I'd come in, and Richard and Linda, they don't go to bed early. And it was quite good for me that, and I would sit down and they'd say, and how are you? And especially as like, you know, the time grew closer for Matt and I to get married, and everything that I'd been through in the last few years, and all of that kind of stuff, they'd say, and how are you doing? And I'd find myself, just like I did when I was at home, I would sit and have these conversations. And I don't know if they know, actually, some of the wisdom they imparted into my life through those conversations. And some of the wisdom that they gave me as Matt and I started our married life together, some of the wisdom that came from them into my life at a time when, actually, I was quite unsettled and quite uncertain, not about Matt, but just about me. And sometimes, you know, I was, you know, a lot more kind of there emotionally than at other times, and they would be able to testify to that. Not that they would, but they could do. And what I wanted to do this morning is have one of those conversations as a church. So I'm not going to be my usual, I'm struggling to sit on my seat already, but I'm not going to be my usual kind of, you know, everything, let's go straight for the jugular. I want a conversation where hopefully we can bring some wisdom into an area of life that I feel God really wants to talk to those of us who are here this morning about. And I want to read to you from Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. If you've got a Bible, why not turn to it? And I want to tell you what it says. And then we're just going to expound on this, and then we're going to see what the Holy Spirit does. Everyone up for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Says this in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, we're starting from. And this is God speaking through Ezekiel to his people. God isn't talking here to people who don't know him. He's talking here to his people. He says, I will plant a new heart and a new spirit inside of you. I will take out your stubborn, stony heart and give you a willing, tender heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit inside of you and inspire you to live by my statutes and follow my laws. I love that. I will inspire you to live by the things that I say. I'm not here just to get the whip out and crack you one with it and make sure that you do as you're told. But actually, as I give you a new heart and a new spirit, I want to inspire you to live. I want to inspire you to live right. And this morning, as God makes all things new, I want to have the conversation with us that this morning he wants to give us a new heart. Right. A new heart, a new spirit, that he wants to put something fresh inside of each one of us. Because when God makes all things new, sometimes that means my heart. Sometimes that means your heart. Because it doesn't matter how long you've followed God, but for those of you who may have followed God a very long time, as I have, sometimes it's very easy to allow your heart to become something it should never be. And it's not because we don't love God anymore. And it's not because we don't like God. And it's not because we don't want to follow God even. It's just because the things of life and the things of this world get into us and begin to change the makeup of our heart. And this morning, God wants to come and he wants to say, do you know what? Today, I want to put inside of you a new heart. I don't just want to make it so that the old one gets a bit better. You know, I kind of looked up, you know, like you can get those computers for dummies. Kind of books. I kind of looked up what the heart does for dummies, right? And things like, you know, the heart every single day beats around 100,000 times if I've Googled it right. Okay, it pumps approximately 23 liters of blood around the body and it delivers oxygen and nutrients to the body to keep it working correctly. That's the dummy version, okay, of what the heart does. But there are things that the heart does that and the heart is doing that right now as we're sat here, or else there would be a problem. Okay? And just as we're sat here, we're not making it do that. We're not telling it to do that. The heart just does what the heart does inside of the body. But we can do things in our natural lives to help the heart keep doing that. Because it would be a very good idea for the heart to keep doing that. Anyone else agree? Yeah. Be a very good idea, hey? And things that we can do to keep the heart doing that is things like take in the right things. Feed it with the right things. If you are eating the wrong things, if you are allowing the wrong things to come into your body that are not going to help your heart then needs to work harder until it gets to the point that it can't do it anymore. We need to stay active. We need to exercise. We need to make sure that we help the heart along. And we need to watch our lifestyle and avoid things that in our everyday life can cause us anxiety and stress. That helps the heart carry on doing what the heart needs to do to keep you alive. Yeah. And so often, the spiritual will mimic the natural. And if we think about the heart spiritually, what we take in is going to affect our spiritual heart. So what we allow into our life, the sin that we allow into our life, the good things we allow into our life, the things that we watch, the things that we read, the things that we are, the places that we go to, the language that we allow to kind of come over us, whether it's with people that we're with or whether it's as ourselves, all of these things are going to affect the heart spiritually. And there are 101 other things that will affect the heart spiritually, but we've got to be careful what we take in if we want our heart to be right. Yeah. If we want our heart to keep working in the way that God needs it to work for the world in which he has placed us. Right. We need to stay active. We need to be active in our Christian faith. We need to be active in telling others about God. We need to be active in reading our Bible. We need to be active in being in church. You know, next week we're going to have encounter nights in the evening. Plan it in your diary. Because you know what? It's just a time to spend with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. No one's going to be preaching. We're going to be worshiping. We're going to be praying for one another. We're going to be just spending time with God. You know, plan it into your diary because it's staying active. It's allowing the freshness of God to come and do something in us. And then thirdly, we've got to watch our lifestyle. We've got to watch the things that we allow to take over our lifestyle. You know, this morning, church, I'm not preaching deep theology or rocket science, but it's a conversation that I believe is going to bring wisdom into our lives so that we can stay healthy in the things of God. Yeah. God says, I want to give you a new heart. In the times of Ezekiel, as in so many other times in the Old Testament, God had to come and challenge his people to return to him. And part of that returning to him was God says, I'm going to remove from you the heart of stone and I'm going to put in you a heart of flesh. He wanted to give them a new heart, a heart that would follow him gladly, a heart that would respond to his presence, and a heart that would give life wherever it goes. Yeah. A heart that would follow God gladly. I don't know if you can remember the day that you gave your life to Jesus. I can remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. It was in October 1985, and I gave my life to Jesus. I chose to follow him with my whole life. This is it, God. From this, I was 12 years old. From this day forward, you are it. I'm going to gladly follow you. I have to be honest and say that the gladness has not always been in abundance. Anyone else with me there? You know, sometimes there's been reluctance. Sometimes I've not wanted to do it. But what God says when he comes and says, I'm going to make all things new, and he begins to talk about the heart, he says, I'll give you a new heart. In the NIV version, he says, I'll give you an undivided heart. An undivided heart, not a heart that, you know, you've got one foot in my camp and another foot somewhere else, but a heart that is undivided, a heart that is solely after me. When God gives you a heart, when God gives you a new heart, that's what he does. Your pursuit is him alone. Your pursuit is his will for your life. And everything else that God has given you fits in around that. So my pursuit of God, it doesn't mean I pursue God and I ignore math. Because God gave math to me. So in my pursuit of serving God, I pursue how I can serve him. I pursue, it's not serve God and leave my kids. That's not going to happen. Because God gave me them. They're part of his will for my life. When God gives me a new heart, it gives me an undivided heart that says, do you know what? Till the day I breathe my last breath, it is going to be spent for the things that God has given to me. It's going to give us a new heart that follows him gladly, that responds to his presence. I loved being in worship this morning. When we're singing that song, so amazing. Just something lifted in that song over this place. Because we're singing words that just exalt God. We're not singing words that ask God for anything. We're singing words that just exalt him. And we're declaring who he is. And you know what? This morning, I could have carried on. I could still be singing that song right now. How are you in that? Because actually when things happen in life and they come in and they affect our hearts, and this happens to all of us. So it's not, if this is happening to you at the moment, it's not that anyone else is better than you because it's not happening to them. It's either just happening or it will happen. Because we go through these cycles of faith and of Christianity and of relationship with God, just as we do in the natural, we go through in the spiritual. And God comes again and he says, this morning, I just want to give you a new heart. A heart that responds in my presence. A heart that brings life wherever it goes. Whoever we're in touch with, whoever we're alongside, those people that we do life with, do we bring life to them? When our heart is right before God, we will, without even saying anything. There are people who I can be in a room with who could be silent, yet I feel better. Does anyone know any of those? They don't have to say anything, but I just feel better because I'm with them. Yeah. It's people with a heart after God. Proverbs 4, verse 23. You couldn't preach on this subject without using this verse. But it says this in the Voice translation of the Bible. Above all else, watch over your heart diligently. Guard it. Because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and the noble things of life. Let me read that to you again. Above all else, more important than anything else. This is above everything else. It's above serving God. It's above what you do. This is when King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, wrote above all else. I think we need to really take a look at that. Okay, above all else, watch over your heart. Diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and the noble things of life. The state of my heart is a daily choice. Same as the state of my heart naturally is a daily choice. Do you know what? It doesn't matter if I've eaten vegetables for the last 3 weeks. If tomorrow I have 3 fry-ups and 20 fags, it's really not going to help me. And it doesn't matter that I have, you know, done 3 weeks really well. That day is going to affect my heart because of what I've done on that day. And so I want to say to us this morning, you know, every single day we have a choice on how we guard our heart. Every single day we have a choice on what we put into our life and what we allow God to do in us. And so what I want to do just for a few moments, and we're going to worship soon. What I want to do is, the Bible says in Ezekiel that God wants to remove our heart of stone and he wants to replace it with a heart of flesh. I want to go through, and there are more than these, but I've just got six things to go through this morning to, so you can check the condition of your heart. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Not with anyone else necessarily, but with yourself and with God. Let's be honest. As I've written this week, I've come and been honest with God about some of these things because it tells us where our heart is at. Are you ready? Number one, a heart of stone refuses to hear God, but a heart of flesh hears and responds to what he's saying. When was the last time you heard God? When was the last time as you opened the Bible or as we were in worship or as, I am not saying the audible voice from heaven, okay? But when was the last time you read your Bible and went, wow, wow? I was sat the other day. I was just reading my devotional book. And I read this and it just stopped me. It kind of then took me about another 2 hours to read the rest of the chapter because I couldn't get away from these lines. It says this, do you have a longing to be close to Jesus today? He will draw you so close that it breaks every chain that holds you back, every weight that holds you down. Even if he has drawn you 1,000 times in the past, ask him to draw you again. Wow. I just sat there, you know, and I struggled over the last few weeks to read and stuff like that. And I just sat there and thought, you know what? Even though you've drawn me 1,000 times before, Jesus, I'm just going to sit and ask you to do it again. You see, a heart of stone refuses to hear God, usually because God's wanting to come and help mold us and shape us and change us and maybe knock a few bits off us here and there. And God's wanting to do that, so we refuse to listen. But a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft before God, even if it's not totally right before God, a heart that's soft before God hears God and responds to God. This morning, maybe if you're not hearing God, maybe you need to say to him again, God, replace my heart, replace that connection with you, God. Some things, life has made it hard, and life does do that. Disappointments do that. And these are things that we all have to deal with. And it's not, you know, God coming and telling you you're wrong. God's not doing that this morning. God's coming and going, I see it. And even though I've drawn you 1,000 times before, come and ask me again. Because I'm wanting to do it again. I'm wanting to do it again. So a heart of stone refuses to hear God, but a heart of flesh hears and responds to him. Secondly, a heart of stone doesn't feel for others what God feels, but a heart of flesh feels and acts on what it feels. Have you ever got cynical about people? If you've been in our church for longer than 3 months, and that's quite a long time, you will have done. Because we're human beings, and sometimes our natural tendency is to get a little bit annoyed with other people. Yes. It's got to be eldership are amening that, isn't it? And sometimes when those situations come, when those offenses come, when those things happen, our heart begins to harden. If we don't bring it to God, if we try to deal with it ourselves, if we, you know, can't see where someone else is coming from, when our hearts begin to harden, we don't feel for God what others feel. And so we judge. And so we don't help. And so we, or if we do, we moan about the helping that we're giving. I don't know if anyone's, maybe it's just me that's been in that situation, you know. I can remember one day, being in that place as I was ramming stuff into cupboards and then all of a sudden looked up and saw two people from church who could hear my chuntering and my moaning and my complaining. And it was like, and I would love to say that that was when I was just a lowly youth pastor. It really wasn't. It was about a year and a half ago. So it happens to all of us. Sometimes it's just our heart getting a bit hard because of life, because of whatever. But this morning, why not ask God, God, give me a new heart. Put a new spirit within me. A spirit that feels for others what you're feeling. God, how do you feel about the refugee situation? God, how do you feel about you know, the hundreds upon thousands of people that self-harm. God, how do you feel? God, we're not going to look at all the whys and try and see whose fault it is. God, how do you feel about those things? Because a heart of stone judges, but a heart of flesh has compassion. Thirdly, a heart of stone rejects God's word, especially when it brings correction. But a heart of flesh welcomes God's word and allows it to bring change. So this morning, what's going through your mind right now? Don't like that bit in Ezekiel. It's Old Testament anyway. So let's get on to the new. But you know what? This morning, just listen to God's word. It brings correction, and sometimes that hurts. Sometimes it's not comfortable. But let me tell you, it makes your heart healthy. And when we have a heart of stone, God's word can't always penetrate it. This morning, I want to be someone who has a heart of flesh. I was thinking about this week. I would rather be someone with a heart of flesh and be walked over a bit than someone with a heart of stone and never feel anything for anyone. I'd rather be someone with a heart of flesh that takes the correction from God than someone who always has to be right with a heart of stone. Fourthly, a heart of stone makes us greedy, but a heart of flesh makes us content with what we have and also generous with it. You know, when we have a heart of flesh, we're generous. We're generous with what we have. When our heart has become hard before God, we become stingy. I love the verse in Proverbs that says, that the world of the generous becomes larger and larger, while the world of the stingy becomes smaller and smaller. Yeah. Do you know what? When you have a hard heart, your world begins to shrink. When you allow God to put in you a heart of flesh, that yes, sometimes might hurt, that yes, sometimes might get broken or stamped upon. Okay, when you allow God to put that in, your world will just begin to expand. Yeah. Your generosity will begin to expand. You know, you'll be content with what you have. Because I'm telling you, what every single one of us in here has is more than most of the world's population. And so this morning, why not? If this is an area that you're now going, don't like this, move on to the fifth point, please. Okay, this is where God's hitting you. This is where God's not hitting you, but this is where the word of God is coming to you now. Take out the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. A heart that is going to become generous. A heart that is going to beat for others. Fifthly, a heart of stone brings pride, always thinking of yourself. But a heart of flesh brings a healthy humility and putting others first. Do you know what? I want to kick the thing out of the window that says humility means that you don't think anything of yourself. Actually, humility doesn't cause you to put yourself down. You can still have confidence in what God has gifted you in, but it means others are not stunted so you can stay elevated. And as a singer, I have learned that others shouldn't stay stunted in their gift so that everyone can hear me. Because if you was here on Thursday night, you'll be glad I wasn't up there this morning. My voice had completely gone. As we did churches together on Thursday night. But, you know, I shouldn't stay elevated while other people stay stunted. But humility doesn't say they've got to be louder than me because I'm no good. Because that's not true. And it took me a long time to be able to say that. So whether I'm up with a mic or not, I have a voice. And I can sing. And that's not going to change. But I don't always have the mic to prove. I don't always have to have the mic to prove that I can do that. Do you get what I'm saying? I don't have to be proud with it when I only think of myself. Actually, a hard heart does that. But a soft heart goes, thank you for my gift, God. I will use it whenever I can. But I will also make sure that someone else can use their gift as well. And whether we allow others to be elevated or not usually comes down to the condition of our heart. Right. When my heart is soft and right before God, it doesn't matter who's at the front. What matters is that God does what God needs to do. And then sixthly, and we're going to worship together in a moment, a heart of stone brings division in relationships, but a heart of flesh seeks unity. A heart of stone says, I'm right. A heart of flesh says, I may be right, but I'm not going to say that because I want unity. You know, this morning in your relationships, how are they going? It's usually the condition of our heart that will cause them to go one way or the other. How are your friendships? How are your marriages? How are your relationships with your kids? Kids, how are your relationship with your parents? Because they'll go through stuff that you have no idea about. And vice versa. A heart of flesh, the new heart that God gives us, wants to bring an atmosphere of unity, an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can do what he needs to do. How are our connect groups? Start back on Tuesday. How are they going? Whoever cheered then, you get 10 points. How's it going? How do you find the people in your group? Sometimes the problem is not always theirs. Sometimes it's mine. Sometimes it's my heart. Sometimes when I struggle in that arena, it's me. And you know what? I could get really good at saying why it's someone else. I could get really good at going around my group and going, well, you know, they weren't very talkative today, or, you know, they were in a right grump. But actually, usually my response to people comes out from a place of where my heart's at. Right. It's usually not about them. It's usually about me. So I want to really bring a challenge to us this morning. How's your heart? Because in this God making all things new, how is your heart? This morning, do you know that there are places where your hearts become hard? Do you know that there are places where the Holy Spirit might need to do something in you right now? This morning, I wrote and rewrote this, and in the end, I just wanted to keep it simple. Ezekiel says this, I will plant a new heart and a new spirit inside of you. I will take out your stubborn, stony heart and give you a willing, tender heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit inside of you and inspire you to live by my statutes and follow my laws. This morning, is your heart in any way getting hard towards the things of God? Because if it is, I've pulled out a golden oldie. But King David prayed these words in Psalm 51. He said, God, create in me a clean heart. Give me a right spirit. I love this line. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. This morning, is there joy because you're saved? If there isn't, my guess is it's a heart issue. And God needs to do something in you right now. And I've just left some time this morning. And hopefully we've got the words. And I've just left some time this morning for God to do what he needs to do. And I wonder, Jane, if you'd just get the microphone for us to say, is that okay? Come and lead this with me. Is that all right? But if that's you this morning, why don't you stand before God? This is between you and him. If you need to talk, come and talk. I'll make my diary as free as I can this week. If you need to talk, find your connect leader. But this morning, I'll find a friend. But this morning, why don't we just allow God to do a bit of heart surgery on us? Because I know from that list where I need to come to God, I am not coming to you with it all together. I never do. But this morning, I want us to come and sing this song. And have we got it? Well, me and Jane, we've got it on the back, so that's okay. Me and Jane will sing it. And if you know it, join in. If you don't, you know what? Maybe just stand before God anyway. And the song just says, create me a clean heart. It's totally out of Psalm 51. But if you know this morning that God needs to do something in you, why not stand and allow the Holy Spirit to do something in you this morning?